Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence.
All right, Gamma Mash here, top of the hour. We welcome you to the KZFR Without a Roof radio program, a pledge drive edition, one of two. We'll be actually doing a show next week because next Wednesday the pledge drive will still be going on. And, you know, before we dive into this wonderful piece, Josh Indar from Youth Advisory Council and Youth Connection, California Youth Connection, had done a wonderful pre-recorded interview with a young man named Elijah. But before we dive in there, let's just kind of go around the room and introduce yourself. I got Destiny from California Youth Connection. Welcome to KZFR, Destiny.
Thank you for having me.
And we have Johnny from California Youth Connection as well.
Thank you.
Maybe either of you or both, maybe you can give us a little insight on what California Youth Connection is and all the great work you're doing.
Well, California Youth Connections is a foster or former youth program, and we advocate for the rights of foster youth and to change their experiences and stuff like that.
Nice. Thank you, Destiny. And then we have Josh Indar.
Hey there.
Welcome back into the studio, Josh.
Thank you.
Josh and I have done a lot of radio shows together over the last few years. But Josh, why don't you introduce us to this piece and give us a little insight on what the Youth Advisory Council is doing here in Butte County to give us some context.
Sure. The Youth Advisory Council started sort of as a result of, we started this Butte County Homeless Youth Task Force, and we were trying to come up with different ideas for things we could do for the youth, and we really just decided that we wanted a youth voice in that kind of planning, and then it kind of took on a life of its own with youth showing up and having really good ideas and, you know, really wanting to get involved and advocate for themselves. So we also went down to Sacramento a few weeks ago, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, for the Taking Action Conference. And that is the piece that led to, or I'm sorry, that was what led to the piece with Elijah, because he had a pretty interesting experience, you know, going down and advocating, talking to state senators, talking to state assemblymen, something that he'd never done before. And I've actually learned how to do this from the CYC group, which does the same thing on behalf of foster youth.
So once again, this is the Pledge Drive Edition. We have aspirational goals here, Josh and Johnny and Destiny. We want to try to get to $500. You know, and we're celebrating 5 years of doing Without a Roof. And I know that Josh and I, and, you know, it was really cool because I saw you in here. You were interviewing Mackenzie and Maddie mm-hmm. about their sojourn to the past. And they just look so energized to have a place and a voice, you know, that's going to be out there that they can listen to and tell their friends. So,
yeah, it's super exciting. It's a great opportunity for youth to get involved in their community and just sort of find their voices and find a way to get involved. And KZFR really makes that happen for youth and I'm really grateful for it.
Yeah, I as well. So we're going to jump into this interview with Elijah here on the Without a Roof radio program, the Pledge Drive Edition.
Why don't you introduce yourself? I'm Elijah, and I'm sitting here at the park. I don't know what else you want me to say.
How old are you?
I am 24 years old.
All right. And what do you do for a living?
I work very hard every day to try to be successful, but at the moment, I work downtown as a cook.
Okay, and so recently, I guess it was like 2-3 weeks ago, you and me went down to Sacramento, to the Capitol, as part of the Taking Action Conference, sponsored by California Coalition for Youth. And you were involved in that through Youth Advisory Council, right?
Yeah, and I got connected with that through the Drop-In Center, or the 6th Street Center for Youth that's here in Chico on 130 West 6th Street.
So what is the Youth Advisory Council, and like what brought you to it?
What brought me to it was the 6th Street Center for Youth, and I didn't really know much about it. And then working, going there, I find out that they're just homeless and runaway youth, and they're trying to just make a difference to have like all the homeless that are out there now be successful, and then to stop further generations of homeless and runaway youth.
And you have some experience with that yourself, right?
Yeah, definitely being homeless and a runaway youth. Yeah, definitely have a lot of experience doing that here in California, from LA, even here in Chico.
The conference was about basically like what?
The conference was just, there's a lot of workshops, and we were just kind of preparing for going to the state capitol to meet with our senators and local legislators and assemblymen, trying to receive some money from the taxes that are coming from the new legalized weed. So there's all this money, and it doesn't really have a designated place yet to go. What better way to spend that money than to help the kids local to this state? So
yeah,
that's what we were trying to do, was trying to receive some extra funding to help homeless and runaway youth.
It always seemed like a pretty good idea to me to have like the people who are affected by the problem go and tell the legislators what, you know, what's going on with it. Do you think that we did a good job advocating for these issues? Like we talked to like a couple of staffers for these assemblymen and senators. Do you feel like they listened?
They're very nice. They seemed interested in like that they're the people that they're representing were pretty enthused and should totally be down to help us out.
Do you remember what you told them?
Yeah, I told them that I've received benefits here in Chico from some of these organizations that have such limited funding. I told them like how the 6th Street Center for Youth like helps so many kids, how we only have one drop-in center in Butte County, and how there's so many homeless and runaway kids here, not just in Chico and not just Oroville and Paradise, but all of Butte County, and like all the traveling kids who end up here, who try to use some resources, and their sources are so limited, but how some people do benefit greatly. Like I personally would be going nowhere fast if I didn't come up to Chico and find the drop-in center and use their outlets. Like they've helped me. I told them how they helped me with resume, building my resume, washing my clothes, taking a shower, giving me food, counseling. I had a dog. They helped him. They helped me go to vet appointments, getting shots, rides to pay court fines. They didn't help pay any court fines, but they've helped me get there to do that. They helped me do anything they can to housing. They help people get jobs. People who have like extreme like mental health issues, they help them get jobs and work experience in like a comfortable environment where they can like still learn and still earn some money. So but we can only do so much. We can only help such a little bit with the funding that we have, and that we were asking for what I thought to be like a joke. It's a little bit of money to them because they have so much money that goes to all these different funds. And we are asking for what I think is such a black and white problem, that we need money for the youth that has no support team. The streets are more home than home, and their family is the people that they're growing to love out in the streets, and the organizations that we could build here in Oroville and Chico or Butte County or all over California. We just needed their help, and if we came there asking it, and hopefully we received their aid.
Had you ever done any political advocating before?
I have never done anything like that before in my life. I was unprepared. I totally didn't know to dress, that there was a way to dress, so that was fun. I had a nice like Hawaiian t-shirt on, some freaking nice shorts and a hat, and it was great.
They listened to you anyway.
Yeah, they had charisma. And
did you have fun?
Yeah, I had a blast. I had a blast. It was great. It was great. I had a lot of learning to do, and I filled up my brain definitely while I was there. A lot of networking. I met with a lot of people. I didn't know how serious the homeless situation was, like, for youth. Like, man, there's so many people just like all the people I see here, but they're from, like, Orange County, San Diego, San Fernando Valley, Humboldt County, like, everywhere in between, Fontana, Fullerton, everywhere. They're everywhere. And I thought that I did not know it was like that. There.
All right, you're listening to KCFR 90.1 FM, Without a Roof Radio Program, the Pledge Drive Edition, 8950131. Telephone operators are standing by to take your pledge to keep this radio station going, man. I mean, we're in the times of looking at cutting back on public broadcasting, and you know, we could always use a little extra help, a little extra time, a little extra money. And we're going to get back to this interview right now with Josh Inder, our mentor at BCOE School Ties Program, and Elijah from the Butte County Youth Advisory Council here on KZFR, People Powered Radio.
There are homeless kids with addictions, like homeless kids with abuse problems, human trafficking, like all those things are realities, and it's known to people. And we had to like come and beg these people that are in such amazing suits and nice shoes and watches and jewelry. And I was like asking these ballers for money to help out us. And it was quite an experience.
Yeah. But I mean, we were telling the assemblymen, and this is the truth, like, hey, like, kids are dying on the streets of Chico because they can't get rehab services.
Yeah,
or
like
they can't, you know, get medical help, or they can't get mental health care. And it's like literally like young people dying in our parks. And so when you go and like tell that to people, it's like, man, you didn't know that, you know?
Yeah, it's a it is a rough reality. There's drugs is a big factor here. And not just in Chico, but in definitely in Butte County, California, and the world. But here, it's like right in our faces. And yeah, there's not a lot of youth groups out there for the youth. Like how there's somebody who passed away in the parks due to heroin overdose. There's not a youth NA for that person. There's not a youth drug and alcohol program for these kids. They have to go and sit with these adult addicts who are so negative and who are just like so comfortable in their ways that and influential that they just manipulate and take advantage of these kids, like because they can get quick cash and have fun and be high. And yeah, it's so intriguing and so easy to just fall in line with that, because there's like I said, there's only one youth program here, and it's so limited, and it closes at like 5. So if it closes at 5, there's like at least another 2-3 hours of daylight out in the daytime for kids to be out here just running amok or doing whatever the heck they want. And that's just of daylight. The rest of the night, it just goes on. It goes worse and worse because you can't. Now you can do things in the dark. And things get more sketchy. Things come out. People come out. And it's just a nasty place. And if we had a place that was open in the evening time, a safe place for kids to go and hang out, a kids' shelter. I met kids in other places that there are youth shelters. I didn't even know that. I thought you had to either come and stay at the Torres or had to be with a mom and stay at the Sabbath house with the mom and children, stay there. Like, there's no youth shelter. You have to go and be surrounded by all these drug addict adults or just people who are out there. It's rough. It's not fair. We're supposed to just like turn 18 and get a freaking full-time job and go to school full-time and like manage our life and manage money and build resumes and manage a schedule. And nobody ever taught us any of that. A lot of us didn't even finish school. A lot of us didn't pass junior high school. So all those like things that you learn that are, I'm not saying education is essential, but like the communication and like friendships and even just like having to come to school regularly, that helps you build your like schedule and punctuality. Some people don't have any of that, and you're just expected to like go off and flourish and get an apartment, but you don't have credit and you don't have anybody to co-sign for you. There's all these obstacles in life that we are just supposed to overcome and be like everybody who's way more fortunate and they're 35 and have all these things that you need to freaking survive.
And if you stumble on the way, they will blame you and say that, you know, that it's your fault. And
yeah, like, why can't you just do this? Why can't you just do that? I'm like, I just so happen to be trying every day. But, I mean, I wash my body at the Jack in the Box bathroom every morning. And then I brush my teeth there. And then I put on these dirty clothes that aren't as dirty as the other clothes that I wore the day before, and I go and try to look for a job. I wait for this drop-in place to open that opens up and I can take a shower. I need to do, there's all these things that I have to do. Everything is so much harder going to do laundry. Like, if the drop-in wasn't there for me to do my laundry there, I would have to go to the laundromat and pay that. Bringing all my clothes, like, man, there's just so many, that's just a minor, major obstacle. There's all these little things that people just don't take into account because it's so easy for them.
Yeah.
But for us, it's so hard. It's like, literally.
That's what I always tell people, like, when they, you know, I hear stuff like, oh, well, those people are lazy, they just don't want to work. I'm like, dude, like, homeless people work so much harder than the rest of us. They just don't get the return that the rest of us do because every single thing they do is so much harder.
Yeah.
But I guess we're running out of time a little bit. Do you have anything to say to our local political leaders and our local business leaders about the problem of homeless youth and what they can do to help and why they should help?
One thing I could say to, like, our political, our significant political individuals that we're trying to get a hold of, expect some letters. We're going to be writing letters. We're hoping to meet with you guys, hopefully to discuss some, like, further steps of actions we could take to receive some help and some aid with that. But locally, like, business-wise, I think if you see some homeless kids kicking it in front of your establishment and it's bothering you, I mean, if you're the owner and you're there checking up on your business and you see these kids sitting there, like, calling the cops on them isn't going to help anything. It's going to take away from money and just give these police reasons to come out for no reason, and it's going to keep these kids in the system. I would totally say offering them a dishwashing job, giving them, I don't know, I would giving them an opportunity to do something better than just to sit out there and ask people for money. Like, you have windows. They are probably dirty. They would probably wash those windows for $3. You have trash that needs to be taken out. Like, you could totally have them do that for $2, whatever. And tell them to come back. See if they, like, you have something else that they need that needs to be done. Who knows? That kid might be the hardest worker you've ever invested your time in. But nobody wants, they get the boot everywhere. Get away from the front door. Don't ask people for money. Don't smoke cigarettes right here. Get you and your dog away from here. Go away this, go away that. Maybe try to welcome them. Be the change that you want to see in your city. Like, be that person to give an opportunity to somebody else. That's definitely the only advice I would have to say to anybody. Everybody's so in their feelings about the kids that are in their life right there. But imagine that's your kid right there, or you as yourself. You're not asking for, like, they are asking for handouts because they've tried asking for work and nobody gives it to them. Just give them a chance. If they don't do it, and a lot of them will work for food. I literally have worked a whole 8-hour shift just to get a meal and just to show how hard I can work every day. Like, that's all they need is just opportunity. Offer them a fat meal, and maybe if they're older, a beer, a meal and a beer. See how hard they work. Tell them to come back the next day if they earned it. But still, you're still keeping them off the streets and giving them something to do. Like, just give them an opportunity. It's all they need. They don't need a handout. They don't need the boot. Some people will work for a quick $5, a quick meal. Let's give them a chance.
All right, Elijah, thanks.
No problem.
So, man, be that person. Be that person. You had some strong words around that, Destiny. You know, what we just heard from Elijah about, you know, be that person. What would you say around that?
I did. I would say, honestly, I loved everything he said. I would be that person if I had my own place. I'd be like, yeah, come on in. Here's some trash. I'd probably give them a job, honestly, because that's the person I am. And, I mean, I understand how what he's saying, that people don't. People just throw you away like you're nothing and call the cops. Just, I mean, it's emotional because of the fact that he's gone through all of that and the fact that a lot of people don't understand because of the fact that they weren't in the same position as some people. And just maybe step a foot in their shoes.
Yeah.
And see what you can do to help than to just sit there and be the bad guy.
I like to tell people to sit down and talk to them, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I've had some amazing experiences just sitting down and talking to folks. So thanks so much for that, Destiny. Johnny? Johnny?
Hey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, that young man, he really hits home because, you know, we're former foster youth ourselves, and a lot of foster youth, like you mentioned, you know, when you hit 18, they expect you to automatically have a full-time job and yeah. be able to support yourself and do all this stuff. And you know, I don't remember how many times I was, you know, a runaway youth and other, you know, incidents. And he mentioned how, you know, you're at the park and there's a lot of the older drug addict, you know, homeless people. And they, you know, you talk with them and they're just telling you their story pretty much. But he, like you said, they're all really negative for the most part. And it's really unfortunate because a lot of the youth get caught up and become those older men out there at the park, you know, it's great that he got the opportunity to go down to Sacramento, get to hang out at the Capitol for the day, just lobbying for the youth and, that were in his shoes and maybe still are, you know. And it's just something that we really need, and I'm grateful for anyone and everyone that takes time out of their day to speak up for those who don't have a voice.
So it might be a good time, Johnny, to transition to, you know, your experience going down to lobby the at the state capitol for California Youth Connection.
Yes. So Destiny and myself, Destiny's been involved with it a lot longer than I have, but we head on down to the Capitol and we lobby for a particular bill every year. Well, I mean, each year it changes, but that's a bill that each year we dedicate so much into building up this bill, writing the bill, getting the right bill language, and then presenting it to the senators and assemblymen. And just hoping that, you know, they'll look upon us with favor and, you know, benefit other foster youth. I've also had the, you know, opportunity to lobby for other bills. One recently, Senate Bill 12, where we're trying to get more funding into the college, you know, campuses that give programs to foster youth so that they have, you know, guidance and understanding of how to get through college and how to, you know, be successful. So, I mean, it's great. I love it. Next week, I'll be down at the Capitol doing shadow day. So I'll get to shadow a congressman that, you know, is, you know, going through their average day, and I get to see what their day is like. So I love going down there and taking advantage of all these opportunities.
That'll be your first shadow day?
It will be. Every nice. Year, CYC has shadow day, but this is my first one.
Maybe just a little bit around for our listeners to kind of walk into a person's shoes. Give us a little insight on what it's like when you go down there. Do you have like a meeting you get together to prep, or how do you do the lobbying?
Basically, we have, it's a 3-day long thing. I think, yeah, it's a 3-day long thing. We get there, we get settled in, stuff like that. We have mock trials, basically, is where you mock and you talk to somebody, like business people, but they're people who are not like a congressman or something like that. So you basically practice what you're going to say to somebody bigger and higher up. And we do that. And my experience, when I've talked to them, my story had made one of them cry. And so I felt really proud that I was able to make them, but that they were able to basically have an emotion to what I was saying. And it made me feel better about what I was saying. And I didn't have a voice before any of CYC, and I got involved. And I've been involved for about 2 years now. And I'm more able to speak out and speak up and encourage other people to speak up as well. And that's what you get to do when you go to the Capitol and you lobby and you talk to congressmen, people. And it's a great experience.
It's a really powerful thing to watch, too, because you see people who are making these decisions on behalf of these youth, especially with foster youth. You know, the state is basically their parent. And so to hear the stories of these youth, what they've gone through and the troubles that they're facing, it's amazing. You just kind of can see their minds changing because they don't know what's going on in the system that they are supposed to be administering. And it's a really powerful experience, not only to watch that, but to see the growth in the young people, because they've told their story to someone who's very powerful now and made a change just by doing that. The change in the youth is really amazing to watch.
Johnny, any circle back for you? Any comments on what we've been discussing here?
Yeah, definitely. I love it because you get to meet people from all over the state that you never really think about what someone else is going through that's down in Southern California. Just because there's different demographics, there's so much that overlap. And it's crazy because, you know, you stay in contact with these people even afterwards. And it's just amazing whenever a year goes by and you're back fighting for more, you know, justice and, you know, just advocating for people, and you meet these same people again and you just get to talk with them and just hear about what's going on in their lives. And it's kind of like a support group almost in reality. Mm-hmm. We're all just out here trying to fix the system, and it's great that there's so many people that want to help and be part of that.
I want to thank Johnny and Josh and Destiny for coming in. And Destiny, we did a wonderful piece that Josh did an interview, and I'll put that out on my Facebook page, Without a Roof Facebook page, for people that might not have heard Destiny's story. But I'm going to transition to our bumper here. But before I hit the bumper, 895-0131, you know, support our youth, support our program, support People Powered Radio, and signing off for the Without a Roof Radio program. Guillermo Mash here, host of the Without a Roof radio program, which kicks off a trifecta of KZFR Wednesday public affairs programming, airing from 5 to 5:30.
Each week we explore